Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Lord. You look quick to take a look at us.
Siempre, yo.
Yes. We're so excited. So we want to say good morning to our Blog Talk Radio listeners just all over the world. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio.
Buenos dias, familia.
Yes, and we want to say a special shout out to our studio audience. And the ones that are here and the ones that are to come. Because y'all know we have some that kind of...
whatever, to this day, okay, this is my heart. But he used to pray, and I will weep. I don't know if he remembers. And he will also speak in tongues. I would tell my husband, this is a little boy in my class, and when he's praying, he starts going, ora, bachita, cara, bachita, cara, bachita. But I felt the power of the Holy Spirit all over him, you know? And I would weep because I know he was probably praying for me or interceding. I don't know. All I know that I got set free, you know, in that time. But the church was called Cole back then, Church of Abundant Life. So that's how long his mom and dad and everybody and us been together. And I knew there was something special about him. I knew he had a powerful calling. And I saw him for the first time. I'm sure he preached other times, but it's the first time that God revealed to me that he is called to preach just on the Saturday, the day before Easter Sunday. He was at City Chapel, and he was sharing the good news in such a way that everybody that was there was listening. And God goes, tell him that I'm rising him up for such a time as this. And I was just so excited to tell him. And one thing about my twin sister, daughter of the Most High God on fire for Jesus, we're here.
Yeah.
And we edify. We when God tells us to help others and encourage others, that's what we do. Because we're about the Father's kingdom work. Kingdom assignment with such a task as this for souls. And so it's such an honor. And God, I give you all the glory and honor, Father, for drawing us by your spirit. By your spirit, say the Lord. And Father, I pray, Father, over my brother Stephen, God, of all the endurance that you're going to do in his life, of all the doors that you're going to open.
Lord,
it's such
an
honor that he got to come here to Mornings at the Mansion. You know, Father, to glorify you, and for it's the beginning
Hallelujah.
Of many open
Hallelujah.
Doors for him. And I thank you for Pastor Marlowe, others, Father, and you elevate them, God. You touch their hearts. You take them to where you take them, God, for such a time as this.
Yes,
so we're just here, Father, giving you the glory and honor and praise, Father. And I thank you for his family.
Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for the greater things that are coming ahead for all of us, for him, for his family. I pray, Father, that your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a lot more, but I'm going to let him talk.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate
wow.
it.
Wow. Oh, look at this Bible. We got to hold this Bible
yeah,
up, y'all.
This is his Bible.
Look at her.
You see the highlights and the notes?
Yeah.
A sticky note? sticky nose. And he carries a special box in his backpack, and he has it in there because he's protecting. I believe he's protecting his with the most powerful weapon.
Yeah.
His weapon.
Wow.
So anyway, I just look at this.
Wow.
So that's powerful. Now, he's encouraging me. I said, my Bible's going to start looking like that. I'm going to start putting sticky notes. I didn't know you could do
wow.
that, but I know you can. You see that?
That is so powerful.
You know, honestly, if I'm being honest, I think it has more to do with maybe a bad memory. So it helps. Because here's the thing. Like, say you're going through the scripture and then you start to shift from Revelation, right? Well, you want to be able to turn back to it and have it just as fresh as when you
right.
first received it.
Come on
right?
now.
So, and a lot of, and honestly, and I think it might look, you know, nice or whatever, but I think a lot of times people just switch out the Bible a lot.
True.
So I think, like, if you just keep the same Bible and you're just always, whenever God is speaking about something, you always kept it.
Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. But we are highlighting this, though. The reason why.
Come on.
You know what? This is so powerful because I love the humble and meekness.
Yeah.
You know, because when we do that, you know, as people that are so humbled and sold out, we rear back in just knowing it's not us.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So that's just kind of what I saw just at this very
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
How we are, even though we're not edifying you, we're edifying the God in you.
Okay, well, I can accept that.
I'm
that.
Yeah. Yeah, because this show, to me, this shows zeal.
Yes.
This is a zeal of a man that no matter what, he's turning these pages.
How old are you?
23.
23.
24.
Did you have his Bible? Wait, this is my question. Did you have his Bible at 6? So I wanna say something to you before we go into the next you know, whatever God gives you, but this moment right here is very encouraging to me because let me tell you why. Because Sunday my 6-year-old evangelist who's been here before, her name is Gabby. But I can't say it, Santiago, because he's watching.
Yeah.
But you know, okay, her name is Gabby. So she came and she told me that she is ready to preach.
Yeah.
So last night, you know, the Lord just haven't turned me loose in like since Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to hear him, like, do I have a whole youth day or what are you saying in this moment? Because you have people, and I just want to say this because this is so powerful. Because you have people in the church for years and they won't get up and testify. They won't get up and say nothing. But you have a 6-year-old. Stephen and Gabby. So that was you then, and this is her now. So what would you say to Gabby, because I'm sure she's tuning in, as the person that was a 6-year-old who had the anointing, the zeal, and all that you had, because it's in her as well.
Yeah.
What would you say at this moment to encourage her?
Well, I'd say that Jesus is the heart of God. So focus on your relationship with him. Get to know the way that he judges. Because I think wisdom is walking that line between judgment and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see Jesus in every aspect. Even when they would throw the law at him, for him to condemn someone, he would pull it through with mercy and say, this is the heart behind it.
Right.
And so the better that you begin to understand Jesus and just get to know him personally, everything else, miraculous signs and wonders, naturally follow the children of God. So, you know, everything else takes care of itself.
And when you were 6 years old, you know, and you had, I'm sure a lot of this you didn't understand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
there was a song that he would sing in my class every time, and I would weep, and I still sing it, okay? When it rains, I always think about God in you. We would sing, it is raining all around me. Why don't Jesus? It's a lot of rain. And I was just like, oh my God. And to this day, when I see the rain, I hear your voice singing.
Wow.
And then you will tell me scriptures, as you could see, he studied the scriptures.
Yeah.
And when he left Rainbows to go to Rangers, I cried. I'm like, no, I don't want him to leave my class. And then somebody told me, you have to grow up. You have to grow up too. Okay. But
wow.
It's such an honor that
here
he is, that many years.
Yeah.
And still seeking after God's heart. And now preparing him to be the next
youth pastor,
I'm telling you. And what I want to tell Gabby is like,
So what's your journey been like?
So, well, okay. so here's the thing. So growing up, of course, you grew up in the church, right? Mm-hmm. So you grew up in the church. You hear a lot, and as a kid, you don't, like Bob says, test everything, hold on to the good. But when you're just a child, you're not really doing that.
Why?
Right? Because what did he say? There's none good but God. So I mean, you have to know God before you can test everything. Before you have something to test.
Come on now.
Right? Mm-hmm. So test everything and hold on to what is him. My sheep will know my voice, right?
Right.
But if you don't know his voice, then, you know, then you're going to be deceived by anything.
That's
right?
Right.
So I remember, you know, I grew up in the church. Remember, we had a guest pastor years ago. We had a guest pastor come in. And they were just, he just said something small, right? And it was just amens all the way across the room, you know. And they kept saying things, amens across the room, until at the very end they said something else, and then you got that automatic amen that I said. But it's like reason came riding in on a horse, right?
Wow.
And just like stopped me and said, Stephen, are you understanding what you're amening to?
Mm, come on now.
And basically it's like, all right, take what they say and work it out, logical outwork.
Right.
So like follow it through what they said all the way to the end. Are you still wanting to amen?
Uh-oh.
I don't remember what it was.
Uh-oh.
But I'm like, well, now I don't know. Right? And for me, it was an eye-opener, and it was terrifying because I'm like, God, do I even know you?
Wow.
I'm like, or do I just know about you?
Come on.
You know?
There's a big difference.
Exactly. Right?
Wow.
And so basically what I did was I basically tried to take everything that I'd been doing and put it on a shelf. Said, all right, Father, if I'm going to know you, then I'm going to know you from you. I want the organic bread, right, straight from the Father. You know what I mean?
Right.
That fresh stuff. And so basically, like, that's what, like, anything in here that you see in red, it was almost everything is in red, honestly, because that was my first time going through it where I'm like, okay, everything else is shut out now. I'm not going to believe anything until you tell it to me.
Okay.
You're going to tell it and you're going to confirm it, right? And until I see that, it's like, of course, and it took me a long time before finally, I got to the point where I could test everything important to the good. Because at first, I would shut out anything that I said, right? Just because I was scared to get lost in that, right? Because here's the thing, and this is what the scripture shows, is that you can be active in your gift, but not have God. Like, think about this. It says that you could cast out demons, right?
Come on.
You can have knowledge of all the deep things of God. You can have faith move mountains. You can heal the sick. You can do all this stuff and not have love.
And so
that's why I think even a lot of people can kind of get steered in the wrong direction to say someone's gifting is healed or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And any natural person who has empathy wants to heal someone,
wow,
right? But the problem is that if that person is working from out of that gifting, then, like, what does the Bible say? Like, how can you boast if it's a gift?
Come on now.
Like, so they think that, oh, because it's my gifting, I can teach other people. Like, who gave you the gift? Did you give it to yourself?
Why?
No, so what do you think? You can teach someone to do it? Like, God does it, right?
Right.
And so, yeah. And,
that's scripture, too.
Yeah.
Know? Because the word says that, you know, that they said, well, Jesus, we did this in your name.
Exactly.
We did that in your name. And we did this in your name. And he said, but yet we didn't have love.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did all that, and then everything you did is discounted.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or he says, I never knew you. Like, who
right,
are you?
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay, you're active and you're gifting. That's great. Don't get lost.
Yeah.
You know, let that's awesome, and let God work in that. Like, I've come to, and honestly, that was my biggest fear for a while. Getting lost. Right.
Right.
And so I'm like, you know, Father, I don't want anything that doesn't come out of our relationship.
Amen.
Because, and so think about that example prayer that we do, right? Where he says, when you're going to pray like this, our Father who is in heaven, blah, 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 the whole thing, right? Then right after that, he gives a story. The story of it. So a man, I'm paraphrasing, right?
Okay.
The story is this, though. So the man is in his home, and then his neighbor starts to shout to him, or I always picture him like throwing little pebbles into the window, like, hey, I have people coming over. It's like, I need something to set before them, and I don't have anything. It's late at night, right? And the guy's like, what are you doing? It's like, it's late. My kids are already here in bed. It's like, I can't get up and get anything. And then as the story continues, it says that the man continues to do it. And then finally it says, not because of their relationship, but because of that man's persistence, he'll get up and get in bed.
Right.
Now, here's my problem with a lot of times how I hear that talked about is that the point they're making is, oh, well, then just be persistent. But when you're reading it, how did Jesus start the example prayer? Our Father who is in heaven. So that means he wasn't saying, be the person on the outside throwing the stones. What did the man say? He says, my children are here with me in bed. I can't get up. So Jesus is taking the position of a child.
Mm.
So I'm not on the out. I don't want to be on the outside where he only gives me not out of our relationship and because I'm begging. That's not what I want. I want to be a child in the bed with the father. Just rolls over and if I ask for a stone, if I ask for bread, will he give me a stone? Mm-hmm. If I ask for, will he give me a scorpion? Certainly not. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of my position on that. Is that I just want what comes from him, you know. And as far as the journey is concerned, like after. Because let me tell you, if you say that, if you actually believe that you're going to pray on a shelf that you've learned so far, then that whole New Testament part before you get, the Old Testament before you get to New Testament is rough going, right? Like, I literally didn't even eat pork until Jesus said it was okay. Even though people were telling me, oh, but Jesus says this, I'm like, okay, well, I haven't gotten there yet, so I'm just going to let him, and so, but finally, and you can take this how you will, I believe that God was telling me this, but he tested it together. But basically what I felt like he started to tell me and how I should be reading the scripture to really know him better is what I started to do was, so when you look at the Bible, you have the Old and the New Testament, right? Old Testament was before Jesus came, right? The New Testament after Jesus came. And I believe the Jews in the Old Testament did receive the gospel. The problem is they received the gospel the same way as, like, say you had a 3,000-piece puzzle and dumped it on a table and hid the picture. That's how they received the gospel.
Oh, wow.
So they have all these pieces, but Jesus, the gospel, was the picture.
Come on.
So if you want to understand, if you want to walk into the Old Testament with understanding, then you have to know Jesus first.
Come on, man.
Or else it doesn't make sense. Because how many times did Jesus say,
that is so true.
How many times did Jesus say, oh, well, you've heard this, but this is what it means.
Right.
Like, you're taking it like this, this is what it actually means. And so basically what would happen is, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all basically the same. They're all testimony of his life, but from different perspectives, right?
Right.
The Jew, the Gentile, the hard-hearted, and everything else. And I'm like, okay, so I really want to know Jesus, and I'm picturing it as Jesus right here in four different perspectives. Like, all right, I'm going to read Matthew, and I'm going to skip to Acts, Romans, but read the New Testament with Matthew's point of view and skip Revelation, right? Then I have the whole New Testament with Matthew's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would read Mark to Acts, Romans, blow up, finish the New Testament with Mark's point of view, same thing with Luke, same thing with John. So by the end of it, I get this full picture of Jesus. Oh, it's skipping Revelation. Then I go into the Old Testament. Now with a full picture, now as I was reading the Old Testament, it starts to make sense. You start to see that it's all physical representation of spiritual truth,
mm-hmm.
right? And then finally, after those major minor prophets, you step into Revelation, and now that makes sense.
Wow, yeah.
Because here's the thing is
wow.
For example, like anyone, especially new believers, right? You're going to, when someone asks, like, what are you interested in? You're like, you're going to want to read Revelation, right? And it's a spooky book. You know what I mean?
The end.
Right, right.
The final.
And here's the thing, though.
A spooky book. I love it.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's hard to understand it because here's the thing. God is in yesterday, today, and forever. So just to give the clearest picture, say you take a major minor prophet, right? I think Zechariah, right? The Bible talks about Zechariah, right? He says he's staying on the banks. And basically, he sees out of the throne room of God four horses, right? And he says he sees the colors and he sees in what direction they're going, right? So that's it. That's all the information you get.
Right.
John has the exact same story, only John isn't staying on the banks on earth. John is in the heavens with God, seeing him call him into his presence and send him out.
Right.
Now, what the information John gets is what each horse brings. He doesn't know where to go.
Right.
Zechariah knows where they're going, but not what to bring.
Come on now.
And so if you put them together, then you get an actual full picture of what's going on.
Right.
And the thing is, a lot of times, like, you see, like, all these pictures, like, of, like, the seven-headed dragon and the this and the this
mm-hmm.
and this. And say in the Old Testament, the major minor prophets, the angel of the Lord will say, oh, well, this means this and this means this. It'll clarify some things, but leave out a lot of things, right? Well, the same thing happens with John. But what you'll start to notice as you begin to draw those together, the things that are described here weren't described there, but the things that are described there weren't described here.
Mm-hmm.
So now with that information, you get a full picture of what's going on.
Amen.
You know?
Wow.
So that's kind of
deep. So that's pretty deep. You're almost like the bishop up here.
Yeah.
But,
Holy Spirit, the day that he says, time, go talk to Brother Stephen. This time he needs to come to Mornings at the Mansion. God had already confirmed to you that he was going to open doors.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So tell us about that before that. You know how you talked about it before.
Okay, okay,
okay,
okay.
Okay,
so
tell us about that.
All right, so here's that.
So good.
All right, so look, let me tell you what happened exactly right after that, right? So you had told me this, right? And then God started to put on my heart, basically to give a quick snapshot. So you showed me about like that portion of the Bible when Jesus gives a parable and it says the 30, 60, 100, right? So talking about basically if you're faithful with this, then he'll multiply and he'll
come on now,
pour in, right? And what he was showing me is that if your faith were to pour out what he's pouring in, then he'll multiply what he pours in, 30, 60, 100 times,
right?
And I was telling that to her, and then literally the very next morning, I get a text message from my brother, Joshua, right? I get a text message from him with that exact same verse, and with it, exactly what she was talking about, which was how persecution is going to come, and there's going to be this and this and this, and you sharing the exact same stuff.
Wow.
And so, I mean, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So when you see the power there, that's the direction you go.
That is so true. And you can't be fearful.
Yeah.
If you really, really say, hey, I'm sold out, I want to be what God wants me to be, when he wants me to be, I think a lot of issues with the body is they overthink it in the natural sense, and they really talk themselves out of you know what I'm saying, the zeal of it. And then that's how the birds come and steal our stuff. Mm-hmm. That way, we have to know that it's not about us. So that's why I love that introduction when we were talking about the Bible and how, and I love that. You already remind me of Papa Jack at 23. because what you did, I saw it. See, I'm sensitive. And plus, I've been talking to the Lord. I said, I need you to sharpen my discernment in this hour. Because I need to see what you need me to see, you know. And sometimes when you're sensitive, it's a small thing.
Yeah.
It's not big things. And I learned that 9 years ago when I came to the mansion. I was looking at the big sign, and God said, you missed the little sign. You got to pay attention to the small signs. But to be, you know, to, like you say, hit it home, when we were beginning this, because this is amazing. It's fascinating to see you.
Yes. And then he carries it in a very special wood box in his backpack. And this really ministers.
Because so that means that he's carrying, you know how you go to the bank and you put your stuff in a safe deposit box?
Yes.
He knows the treasure that he's carrying.
Yes.
So this, and I know we struggle with this part. When we're
sold
out, sure we struggle with the edification of what we see, the God, because we recognize the Stephen, but we're more so recognizing the God in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're magnifying for the people. But what for me, the what I want the people on our radio and Facebook and even in our studio audience to really catch is that what we do for Christ is not about our age, but it's powerful to have someone like Laura that was there when you were 6 years old.
Yes.
Thank God it's still here at 23 for you, because, see, Laura sowed all those seeds. So I can only imagine out the box I see coming. Well, because if the radio only knew, if they could see her, I could have only imagined. I wasn't even there when you guys connected and I could only see the Holy Ghost matrix.
He was the leader, so I follow him in the table, and we were praying, and he'd be like speaking in tongues, and all me and all of the kids were
right?
Yes, 6 or 7. I don't know how old it was, but I know he was just little.
Yeah.
And I'm here sitting looking at my Josiah, you know, I'm praying that for my
Josiah. The one that loves to worship.
He's
a worshiper. And he's how old?
Four years old. He gets handkerchiefs in the living room.
He's
like, Grandma, look, I'm like you. And he loves worship.
Yeah, isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
So just to, you know, piggyback on that, just seeing that, and I love the way you straddle back. This is the place you got to be careful, people of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay straddled back. Mm-hmm. It's okay to edify. and magnify and give God the glory, and then because he's using you as the vessel.
Yes.
But what I caught at that moment, it's not awesome. He was like struggling with that thing when Laura was like, oh my gosh, and da-da-da, you know, Laura. And he's, the more she's doing that, I see him stressing.
Like, no, you know, it's real, isn't it?
Yeah. It's real. But it's also very powerful.
Yes.
So see, that's why I say you pop a jet already. Because it's your meekness.
Yes.
That's under control.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Yes.
That you already have mastered that.
Yes, yes.
I don't know about
that. Yeah, you have, because I saw it from my own eyes.
Woo!
It's not that the struggle won't come.
Yeah.
And the temptations and all of that. It's not that it won't come, but you already have mastered that. So no, I'm telling you, when the demons come, they already gonna know. Don't fool with me.
Right now.
Yeah. Say right now what he's gonna do. So it's just so powerful. But I just salute you though. I really do, because you have to be. It's in the yes. And even at 6 years old, that was there. But one day you totally. And I know you had a process. Because you're saying, hey, all that didn't make sense to me. I'm not going to be listening to every doctor. And I got to see this thing for myself.
Yes.
And I got to know. And God gave you a strategy.
Yeah.
How to go and unfold him.
Yeah.
And the thread.
Mm-hmm.
And then knit it back together.
Exactly.
But see, with that, Stephen, it takes discipline.
Yes.
It takes process.
Mm-hmm.
It takes zeal. It's a lot that it takes to stay in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And see for yourself, because some of us, even the pastors, hello, we got 59 hands. We get a little frustrated. You know, we do. And I rely a lot on revelation.
Yeah.
You know, I do, because for such a time as this, because like it says in Amos 3, the Lord tells us for sure, I will do nothing without revealing his secret.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what's powerful to not only the prophets, but the true serving prophets.
Mm.
And if you're not serving, you're not getting no secrets. And God tells us right there, he has secrets.
Yeah.
So at 23, to see you, and I'm sure you've been doing this before, this, but this is the spotlight today.
Yes.
Of being 23 and sold out to Jesus and walking it out and allowing your fruits to fall. That's so powerful. And thank you. Yes, to God be the Lord. Bam! Thank you, Papa Jack.
Thank you for the...
Oh, that's Papa Jack, by the way.
Yes.
And his amazing, beautiful wife, Mama, got me.
And soon, whenever he has time on a Sunday, because he's preaching the children at City Chapel, one free Sunday on the first fruits, he's going to come, right?
He's coming to the house of glory!
He'll let us go away!
Woo!
Perfect timing. He's already.
And I cannot wait for Gabby to meet him.
Yes.
But I gotta find the window for Gabby before he comes.
Yes.
Okay? Because it's so important, because it's in the right now. And that's what I love about the children that are like, and I attribute a lot of that to the leadership, to the parents, because, you know, that's the household of faith.
Yes.
You know, not just the house of God, because we are the church, and our house should illuminate and illustrate God before we get to another building. But that church is just the building.
Yeah.
As the people, we're God.
Yes.
You know, the God in us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then when we show up, he show up.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and when we leave, he leaves. Because he and us.
Right? That's
and that's so powerful, though. But I just salute you, mighty man of God.
Was your daddy a missionary when your mom and dad met?
That's how my dad met. My mom was in Mexico on a mission trip.
Wow.
Larissa. I love you, girl.
Yeah. Girl. That's beautiful, though. And
yes.
I salute your parents today
for
very standing in that thing and ruddering and raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of us are going to see those fruits. So I'm prophesying right now. Hello. Mama Dali's got to see them and Papa Jack, and they're amazing, beautiful baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just that window of seeing that, no matter whether it's 105 years or 80 years, whenever you can see the fruits of what you know, and it's not always easy. I'm sure you're a typical teenager too, right? But not out of control.
Right.
Okay, but just a teenager.
Yeah, three sisters.
Yeah.
Right?
Three sisters.
Yeah, you know, and then a lot of times, yeah, and you know, it happens, and, you know, staying humble, and that's what I love, and I always, I have to do that. I always give honor to Papa Jack and then Jazz and now Stephen, because you have to be meek.
Yes.
That's because the Bible tells us that you inherit the whole earth.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all believe that or not. But,
and I also got to babysit him and his three sisters for like 2 years, I think. So every time he would come to my house, he had I don't know if he remembers, but I remember.
That's so powerful. But help us out here, Brother Stephen, and as we are journeying. You know, because a lot of things are going on in the world today.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, we're still in a pandemic and all that stuff, and a lot of people have transitioned, whether it's pandemic or not, because realistically, every day somebody goes to be with the Father.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes on the earth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just that sowing and reaping thing that is the plan of God for us. But for us that are here, and as we are wanting to go from glory to glory, what would you say to us as we, and I feel like I'm doing the Queen and Top Show right now. That's right.
I feel like I'm doing the interview. Okay.
But I just really want the world on this platform, because it's a whole nother
for
your brother.
Yeah.
Okay, to hear your heart, and what antidote in this would you give us to continue? Because, see, we are learning, knowing, and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And we want to learn from you. Yeah.
Yes.
So help us out today, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about something I was thinking about here recently.
Okay.
I was thinking about the most humble man in all the earth, right? Because there has to be someone. Someone has to be the most humble person. I was thinking that person probably doesn't even know that.
Come on.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Wow.
And, man, I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, God, I got a lot to go. You know, I got a lot to go, a lot to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you were talking about from glory to glory, and, man, that's so true. I believe that in my heart.
Amen.
And one thing I think that really limits a lot of people in their own personal walk, or at least I would say slows it down, right, is, and again, Old Testament is physical representation of spiritual truth. I'm going to use that. So you had the Israelites, right? They're wandering through the desert. They were following the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire.
Yeah.
Either way, they're still going in circles, right?
Come on now.
They were following it, but it was so, but from the outside, they thought they were going in circles, right? Mm-hmm. Or a crazy route, to say the least, right? Something that could have taken a lot less time, right? And it's not that they weren't following. It's not like they were steering from the cloud. But the point of the matter is this. When they entered the promised land, did the pillar disappear? It did. Why? Because now anywhere you go, now if in all your ways you acknowledge him, he makes your path straight.
Come on now.
And so what I feel like is a lot of times people get caught up in, oh, well, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And God's like, if in all your ways you'll acknowledge me, then I'll make your path straight.
Come on,
like,
man.
A lot of times we lose sight that we are children of God and that we have, that we can move. Think about Paul for a second. So Paul, he said that he received a vision that he was supposed to go to, I think it was Toros or something, right?
Right.
And he said he shows up, and he was there for a night, but he says he shows up, but because he didn't see his buddy, he left. So he said that, so the Spirit led him there. But he felt free to then, he's like, oh, I don't see my buddy here. He did heal. He did bring a person back from the dead, right? So there's that thing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, he said he left because he didn't see a friend there. Something like that, right? Which shows us the freedom that we have in the world. Like, okay, and I'll use another example. So the very first miracle that Jesus did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the wine, right? And so what happened in that story, you can read it. But what happens is he shows up, he's at the wedding, and then Mary, his mother, comes up and says, you know, blah, blah, they're having a problem, help them.
Wow.
And what does he say? He didn't say, now is my time.
No, he didn't.
He said, now is not the time.
Now is not the time. He did.
But how did she respond? She said, she told the servant, do whatever he says,
he's
going to fix it. And guess what?
He did.
And again, that should really show us that you make your path
straight. Come on now.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about that faith that we're carrying into whatever we do, that he really will bless. So bless the work of your hands.
Come on now.
Like, and that's, and it, I love, and here's the thing, I already knew that wherever we started, I was going to be this way.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really trying to hit any points specific, right? But just recently, just in terms of fresh bread, right? This is what's been on my heart.
And this is so funny. This time. Okay.
Yeah, that's my puppy. My puppy did that. Or when he was a puppy. Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, it's this story in 1 Samuel at the very beginning, right? Where all right. So Eli is the priest at the time, right? And Hannah, she had been barren for a long time. Right? She had a husband, and every year they'd go to this feast, right? And every year she would go there and she would break away and just plead to God to get her a baby, right? To open up her womb. And this happens for you and it becomes difficult, right? And then here's the problem is that in this story, what happens is she's at the tent, right? Where the priest of Eli is, and says that she's out there, she's basically rocking, praying, right? But praying to herself, silently. Eli comes out and he thinks she's drunk.
Right.
Right?
So right.
What is she doing? Mm-hmm. Like, get out of here, you know what I mean? And then she's like, well, hold on. I'm paraphrasing, of course.
True,
right? But basically, she's like, hold on. It's like, you don't understand. Like, I'm dealing with something. I need God to move, and that's why, right? She doesn't tell him what the problem is. She just says, basically, I'm going through this. I need God to ask. And he's like, go, that'll do it. Right, God will take care of you. Now, here's the thing. So God does open for me, but it wasn't because of Eli.
Right.
What does Jesus say? Jesus says, I'm not saying I'll pray on your behalf, but the Father himself.
Right, right.
This is what happened. So Hannah finally received an open wound from the Lord, but not because of what Eli said. It was because of her faith. It was her faith. Every time, almost every time that Jesus healed someone, said, go, your faith is
that's
your
right.
Faith has made, your faith has made
right.
you well.
That's right.
Right? Wow. So, and even take this in regards to, like, healing or something, right? It's not that, say you pray for someone, you expect, you have faith that they're going to get healed, and they don't.
Come on.
It's not because you don't have faith. You don't have to question your own faith.
Okay.
What is, and just to bring more scripture to it, what does the Bible say that? When Jesus was in his hometown, he could do no miracles
right.
except for a few, heal a few sick because of their lack of faith.
Right.
Did God lack faith?
Right.
Certainly not. So it obviously wasn't his, it wasn't him that was stunting the work of God
right.
in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It was their lack of faith. Or another example of the same point. So say that blind, right, that Jesus healed. You have to heal him twice.
Yeah.
Because it, like, because after the first time, he says, now what do you see? He says, oh,
right.
people walking around like trees.
Right. right.
Is it because God doesn't provide a full healing?
Mm-hmm.
No. Right?
It's
because
right.
of his lack
that's
of faith.
Right.
He could only receive a portion of the blessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of those instances do you think are happening in our lives?
Come on.
Where it's our lack of faith that's limiting the work of God.
Yeah.
God's work in us.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not because God isn't trying to give it to us.
Yeah.
It's because we're limiting. We're
yeah.
cutting short.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Right.
Yes. And I want to share a powerful testimony that
wow.
took place at City Chapel on Saturday. So we have a food giveaway on the second Saturday. So we have a Hispanic lady. She came to testify, and Ernest was there, Ernest's wife, and all the leaders there. We were praying. So she came like 2 or 3 months ago, Brother Stephen, for prayer and to pick up food. And she was crying when she came out to us to pray. And she had a tumor that was this big in her face, like, it was a knot, like it was so big. It was almost like she had another piece of face in her face.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
it was that big. It's a tumor of a cancer. And so she was crying that she wanted God to heal her. So Brother Ernest and me, and we put oil and we prayed over her. We prayed over her for healing. And we pray that when God would do the healing, which is already done, we believed it, that it was going to minister to her family because she wanted prayer for salvation for her whole family. And so we prayed and we believed. And there I am praying and Ernest is praying and by faith, but a little doubt wanted to come into my spirit, like, look at it. That's like impossible. And I was like, no. And my spirit was like, with God, all things are possible, you know, because it's by the blood of, because of the blood of Jesus. And so we prayed and she left. And that was like 2 or 3 months ago. Well, this Saturday, she came back, and she came to the prayer line, and she was smiling and still crying. But this time, there were tears of joy because she said, look at my face. The tumor was not there.
Wow.
And she was crying, and she said that it ministered to her family. because the tumor is gone. She says, I'm healed. And me and Ernest, of course, we're giving God the glory. It's all God. But that just boosted my faith.
Right.
Not to limit God.
Right.
I'm praying for people that have whatever, because God's showing me and showing all of us that all things are possible.
Awesome.
And so this time her tears were tears of joy, and then we continue to pray for her family for total completion healing. But the tumor's gone. Her face was just normal. And I mean, me and Ernest was just glorifying God. And so I'm sharing this to boast on Jesus,
right,
that he is a healer,
yeah,
that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow us, those,
yeah,
that believe. And
right,
you're right. And so that Saturday was just, I was just so thankful to God that if we're there for that one person or whoever God leads every time, it's worth,
right,
the,
yeah,
outreach.
Absolutely.
And that just gave me more zeal, more love for God and for God's people. That's going to give the whole family hope, give her hope, and then she can both testify of the power and authority that the Lord gives us through his word,
right,
and the miracles and signs and wonders. And so I thank God for that he healed her.
Amen.
Man, that's awesome.
Yes.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And you know, Laura, it's a flip side to that too. You know, as we are, you know, shepherds and leaders and, have faith, and have to die.
Mm-hmm.
You have people like when you call the prayer line or whatever, which was on the subject. And one of the things that I remember when the Lord first called me to birth the church,
mm-hmm,
is what he said to me specifically. He said, and this is just me, what he said to me, not anybody else, but he began to talk to me about the prayer for the people. And he used Moses as the perfect example for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out later that the Joshua anointing was coming. But I didn't know the process was coming, you know, that way. And that's why we have to follow the instructions. When God tells us something, it don't make sense in the natural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said to me was, don't pray, just reach over and start, praying for them. I want you to ask them what they want from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you pray for them, and they don't pray, they don't believe, then you're going to end up like Moses,
right, right,
frustrated and,
yeah,
aggravated. And
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's such a fine line, but
yeah,
we have to like kind of redirect people and let them know. And kind of, you know how you seem to be leaned over in a chair and you realign them and set them up and have them refocus?
Yeah.
So this is the time the Lord said, it's time to refocus, recalibrate, even for all of us, no matter what our roles are in the kingdom. We have to be able to be focused,
yes,
because as leaders, it's great to pray for people to have prayer lines,
yes,
and outreaches, in-reaches, whatever reach. But if they are not believing,
mm-hmm,
then it won't be the miracle. Like,
and that's one thing.
Yeah. Like what you're saying in the word.
And that's,
uh-huh,
and
yeah,
that's one thing that we did emphasize. I said, do you believe that God,
yes,
can heal you? And she said, yes. And that's when we pray, well, okay, then we're three of us in here in agreement. And we're standing in agreement with God because a three-stranded cord is not actually broken. So when she said yes, that she believed God could heal her, then that's when the prayer and intercession took place.
Right.
And
that's powerful.
And manifested. Amen.
That's powerful. So that's so beautiful in how you led us in the three different dimensions of that. And that's why, and you have to understand sometimes that you're not going to be received in your hometown.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
You
got to
take
the
dust off your face.
And that is so true, Pastor Marlo, because I've been to outreaches where a lady wanted healing, and then we she wanted us to pray, and we pray, and then, but she said, but I don't think he's going to heal me because they prayed before and they didn't heal me. And I said, well, you're speaking it. God didn't heal you because you're saying you've been praying before and you didn't get healed. So if you're not receive it, then it's useless.
Yeah.
And we pray for you. And she said, well, they already prayed for me 4 or 5 times, and I'm still. And I said, okay, well, then I have to just.
Who the hell?
Back out.
That's what I'm saying. That would get you a headache.
Because if
you
don't believe and don't receive it, then you walk away, you dust your feet, and you know.
Yeah.
So I've had those moments too.
That's so powerful.
So you must believe. Yeah.
So Stephen, so now you are at your current church where you're, rooted at the city chapel.
Yeah.
So the Lord has called you into ministering to the youth.
We're actually helping the children's ministry.
Okay.
There are other families that help.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just phenomenal, though, that people like yourself, when you're at your age, it's in a yes. You say, yes, I'll be a part of it or whatever the journey is.
Yes.
And I'm so excited in this portion because I, you know, as a mom, and when you, you know, pastor and all that, and you'd be like, well, your children at? What are you at? Everybody else's children here. Okay, now I'm just keeping it real. And then, you know, and then it's such a place to where you're like, do I, like, lay down the law? Do I just leave them alone and just believe you, God? You know, because I do believe him, and I do, you know, and I don't keep praying about the same thing either, because I believe that God heard me the first time.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, all the things that's transitioned and transpired in the church. And so now I noticed a couple of months ago I was getting a little aggravated in the middle of the church. I can barely settle down and get in the flow because all these kids and knowing stuff. And I'm like, Lord Jesus Christ, I can't hear you. I just thought that, and I said, we need a children's ministry. Okay. And then I'm looking at it, and it don't look like a lot of children, but God has promised it will be. Because you cannot have a Joshua anointing and not have the youth. That's the next generation. So, you know, that's why you have to stay focused when God speaks in your spirit about something, and you can't worry about what it looked like. Okay. So I'm trying to get to it, y'all. I'm trying to get to it. So the other day, well, my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's fat, that I've been praying about. And I have been praying some more stuff to God, but it looks like to me God is answering them in the order I'm praying. That's what it looked like. Okay. Answering them. So in that, my daughter came home and she began to go to church. Okay, but my issue with her was she always come late. I hope you're watching, though. Okay? I just got to be obedient, and hopefully this won't edify her. She would always come late, and I'm a very prompt before time kind of person, and that drives me bananas. Okay, so I try to keep my composure and not come out with the mama card. Like, you know, I cannot believe it. She showed her dad would go to work. I mean, all of that. But, okay, I don't do it. I can still put the seatbelt on. Got to. Okay, and then, not too long ago, we're just chilling out and having supper, and she said to me, Mom, I want to teach the children.
Oh,
wow. Imagine, because if you ever watch the show, being Lord, do the Holy Ghost Matrix. So I was trying to keep my composure, but this is God. He cares about everything. So I never open my mouth, but I'm having a conversation with Him in my heart.
Yes.
And I'm still trying to just work on me. So see, this is where we got kind of get mixed up as people of God. We want to point the finger, really, we have 1, 2, 3, point back it up.
Yeah.
The Lord tells us about the speck and the plank. He tells us about that. So the Lord's just been dealing with me. Marlo, just work on you. Just work on you. Don't work on nobody else. Sow the seed. She knows she's in a house of faith. She already know everything.
Yeah.
Just let, and then you let allow the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
To work on what He needs to work on and sit down somewhere. Okay, so I did. I just didn't say nothing. I just be like in my spirit, just thank you, God. I didn't say, well, Lord, I said what you said, and this what you said. I didn't do that. I just began to thank Him for His promises.
Yes.
And like Loopy shirt, these are our shirts, but it says 3,573 promises.
Get you one.
Manifest until we all ready.
Yes. And you must believe.
Yes. And not screw it up. Because when we get in it, we mess it all up.
Yes.
But I just wanted you to know, as a mighty man of God that has said yes to you, to all the children out there that are, you know, kind of like struggling. Because, you know, it's so much peer pressure in the world, even in the church.
Yeah.
To where you just have this amazing calmness, meekness, this flow about you, and you got so much power in you, and you know the words.
That's why I say ain't no devil finna roll up over there.
And because guess what? He know the word too.
Yeah.
He know the word too, but he know that you're going to be calm. Because some of us, we get a little laugh about devil, let me slap you. Some of us get a little laugh. Right?
Yeah.
But did you get radical like that, or did you just take
it? Do I start clapping?
Yeah.
You got to be in the spirit.
That's why you pop that for real. But that's so awesome, though. But it's just so powerful. But you know, to give God all the glory.
Yes.
My daughter finally told me, Mom, I'm gonna teach the youth.
Yeah.
And but then when she said that, let me tell y'all, be careful, because the devil is something else. We're not glorifying it. We're just talking about the truth, because hell is real. Okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't even go to church the next day after she told me that. I said, but this came back in those years. But I believe.
Y'all, we believe.
We're getting it together.
Agreement. I believe with you.
Yeah. We're getting it together. Maybe she has to stay out of Sunday to get it together. I don't know. But whatever it is, I believe in the, seriously, in the 3,573.
Yes.
And we know it's way more, but that's what God has revealed to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to stand on it. So I'm believing that God is going to do great things in you and your family. And I know you have an amazingly beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Beautiful wife.
Hey!
Baby boy.
Yes, yes.
And a beautiful baby boy.
Yeah.
See, at 23, when you can hold it down like
and,
that,
and,
come
and
on.
And his wife's mom was the praise and worship leader in City Chapel.
And I want to say this to the young women out there, because I'll be hearing this and I'll be rebuking it and shutting it down. For some reason, they believe it's not any good men.
Yes, sir!
Young, because they're like, well, you know, I don't want to get married. I'm like, who have you been listening to? I don't want to get married. It's not any more good guys. And oh my gosh, I mean, from 16 to 32, I've heard young women, even 40 and even 50. Come on, y'all. This is a great example from 23 to Papa Jack. It's some good ones.
Yeah.
You just got to do what you call to do. And one of the things the Lord said, if you want a king, walk like a queen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
If you want a king, because you can get any man.
Yes.
And if he's not king conscious, it's only because you're not queen conscious.
Right.
Okay? So we got to level up. Level up and get your blessing.
Yes.
And I'm just excited that you...
that...
And let me tell you something, sister. You just walk it out.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, Serene. You just groom him in your life of your walk.
Yes.
And eventually he'll say, I want what you got.
Yes.
I was listening to Pastor Ron Robert Morris talk about his wife. And they would, you know, because he's such a generous giver.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that people would ask his wife, because, you know, they didn't give away houses and everything.
Yeah,
they just sold out. And one of the ladies was asking the wife, what did you say when your husband said that he was going to give away your house? And she said, I just cried because I was so happy that my husband, because when they married, he wasn't a man of God. That that shows him how he's never forgot how God saved him.
Mm, yeah.
And he knows that God is in control. And that blessed my soul that my husband is a giver,
because
he wasn't before.
Wow.
And I'm just glad. I know, right?
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good.
So when I just think, you know, even in the home, iron sharpens iron. It's like you're talking about, you could see a baby leak when you talk about your wife, that 1 7. Ooh, she's beautiful. Oh, yes! So is your man telling you you're beautiful? Y'all better watch this 23-year-old young man of God.
Yes.
Because, see, the Bible says that husbands love your wife. As I love the church.
Yes.
So if we got to understand that the struggle is real, but it's not yours. It's God.
Yes.
Give it to him.
Yes, yes. And this note, Pastor Malo, being that he was my leader at 6 years old, I remember him leading us in the prayer. And when we pray, you know, and we were done with the lesson, I would love to bring my grandbaby over here. When you close us with prayer, I would like for you also to take my grandson.
Okay. Yeah. That is so powerful.
Because you are
Josiah, come on.
Yes.
Come here.
Come on.
Come on.
You're probably nervous, but it's okay. And guess what? The other day I walked in the living room, and guess what? He was watching. Queenie Dog. And he's like, Grandma, there's Marlo. There's Marlo. Queenie Dog.
That is so beautiful. Well, Faya, we're going to pray over you.
Look, see the TV over here?
It's okay.
Which one, Sheree?